Would you say America is united, or are we splintered and fragmented? When you look at, say, the Washington gridlock or the red-blue state stereotypes or divisive and alarming messages blasted out at us from all corners of the media, it's easy to conclude that our nation is divided and bitter. But what does science tell us about what's truly in the hearts and minds of Americans? My next guest has applied the science, asked the questions, and come up with an answer that's as surprising as it is reassuring, that we are much more united as a people than you might have thought. Wayne Baker is an author and is a sociologist. He's on the senior faculty of the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, and he's with the U of M Institute for Social Research. His newest book is called United America, The Surprising Truth About American Values, American Identity, and the 10 Beliefs That a Large Majority of Americans Hold Dear. Wayne Baker, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
It is quite a mouthful, this title, but it says an awful lot. And I wondered what it was that impelled you to want to figure out whether we have common beliefs, and if so, what they are.
Well, I've been working in the area of values for quite some time. And I was using data collected by other people, and that only got me so far. And I was starting to see that we weren't as divided as people thought we were. Mm-hmm. We were not quite as polarized as we might think when we listen to our leaders in Washington, for example. But that doesn't mean that we're united about anything. And so I wanted to go further and do my own survey. So I did 4 national surveys. They were conducted here at the Institute for Social Research. And I asked about questions about 24 different values that could be shared values among Americans. And what we found is that there is a lot of common ground. It was actually surprising.
You were surprised by what you found.
I was surprised. I was surprised that we could identify 10 core values. These core values are strongly held. They're widely shared across religious, demographic, and political lines, and they're stable over the time that we measured.
There's an introduction to your book from author Brian McLaren, and I thought it did a very neat job of illustrating why it is so important for us to unite around these 10 core values, because as he says, the moral, spiritual, social, and civic architecture of our country seems to be under attack. And he talked about how we all saw very terribly on 9/11 that when you have multiple intrusions, that's when it comes falling down. And so the concern is, if we're under attack, we need to unite around these core values. When we talk about it being under attack, from whom?
Well, I think it's under attack from several different places. I think sometimes the media has inflamed the divisiveness and overstated it, because divisiveness is newsworthy. Mm-hmm. I think some of our political leaders have not tried to find common ground. Mm-hmm. Rather, they've made a career out of taking one position and running with that. An interesting example is Glenn Beck. You know, Glenn Beck recently apologized about fomenting divisiveness. Now, he said it was fun. You know, for some people, incivility is fun.
Mm-hmm. It's sexy. It people tune in.
Yeah. And he said that he wished that he talked more about the uniting principles or the uniting values. Hmm. And in the book, I report what we discovered, that we have these 10 core values.
Now, and it's really coming, I think, at a time when we are seeing, as is pointed out in your book, we are seeing traditional sources of reliably balanced information kind of eroding and collapsing, that we're kind of losing pillars of neutral media.
Yeah, that's true. One reason I like surveys is that a survey is a very democratic instrument. You bypass our leaders, you bypass everyone, and you go right to the people and say, what do you think? And since the surveys were designed scientifically, they are representative of Americans.
I'm speaking with Wayne Baker, author of the book United America, The Surprising Truth About American Values, American Identity, and the 10 Beliefs That a Large Majority of Americans Hold Dear. He's with the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, and also with the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. So let's talk about these core values. And what would you say is the number one core value?
Well, the first chapter in the book is respect for others. And we decided to start with that one because I think that is really, really fundamental. We asked a number of different questions to determine that that was a core value. We asked, for example, how important respect for people of different faiths and religions was. And we also asked about respect for people of different races and ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. And we found that a very large majority of Americans say that that is very important and that agreement is widespread across these different lines and it's stable over that period of time. Now, it's interesting that respect for others is also a value that people say we sometimes don't live up to. Mm. So one of the things I talk about in the book is here are our ideals, our principles, our core values, and our challenge is to live up to them. And sometimes we don't.
Yeah. In fact, you found most Americans believe the state of our moral values is, quote, deplorable and that incivility is the reason why.
That's right. That's right.
And also I saw – I was very intrigued that the number one character strength was kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we saw that after 9/11, didn't we? There was a sense of everyone is kinder and softer with each other. And I remember hearing people say, I wonder, will this last?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kindness is the number one character strength among Americans. And that comes from other surveys where people have asked people around the globe to rate 24 different character strengths. Hmm. And America is the only place that puts kindness number one.
You found 90% of Americans endorse the value of equal opportunity, and that kind of raises the question of equal opportunity versus equal outcomes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And this is one way in which Americans are unique. Almost everyone subscribes to the value of equal opportunity, of having a level playing field. And historians have looked at the historical record, and they say over time, in fits and starts, opportunities have expanded over time. We still have a long way to go, mm-hmm. But they have expanded over time. Another kind of equality is called equality of outcomes. Now, when people say that, they really don't mean that everyone should make the same amount of money. What they mean is the gap between rich and poor is too wide, and what we need to do is to close that gap, maybe by taxing the rich more, maybe giving more tax breaks or aid and assistance to people in poverty and so forth. Now, it's very interesting. I asked about that value in the survey, mm-hmm. Equal outcomes, and some people do agree that that is their values, but it's not a core value. And so probably about half of Americans say, yes, the gap between rich and poor is too wide, but another half just aren't concerned.
Well, we see that in the national conversation because President Obama has certainly kind of made that an important part of his final push through office is right. Narrowing that gap. And there were a lot of people that said, I've worked hard and I've done what I had to do. So I can see where that is a source of dissension.
Yes, that's right.
Something that I saw as a core value, and it doesn't surprise me just based on America's history, is self-reliance and individualism.
Oh, absolutely. Self-reliance means you'd rather rely on yourself than anyone else. You'd rather do it alone. You'd rather do it all by yourself. And I think that self-reliance is a strong American value that has lots of positive benefits, but taken to the extreme, it can lead to problems. I know this is one
such
that,
as.
Well, this is one that I struggle with, for mm-hmm. example. So I was taught to be very self-reliant, and it makes it hard to ask for help. Oh. It makes it hard to, no person is an island. You need help. You need to cooperate. You know, and I still say, oh, I'd rather do it myself when I really would be better off if I made requests for help and asked other people to pitch in.
Security is one of our core values, certainly, as we think of what has happened since 9/11 and through – so that was kind of the way our century launched. We have the Department of Homeland Security now that was not there during the Cold War and as we were growing up. So talk about what that means to – what does security mean to him?
Right. So security refers to national security. And it's keeping the nation safe and secure from external and internal threats. So if you think back to the horrible bombing at the Boston Marathon, that's
yes.
an internal threat.
Yes.
And so this is a value that is very strong among Americans. It's also a value that is in tension with other values and can sometimes conflict with other values. And that's true among these 10. Some of them balance each other and some of them can be in conflict. So we see in the national debate the trade-off between freedom and security. So if you think about the whole idea of the National Security Administration actually, you mm-hmm. know, reading our emails and so forth, that's the debate of freedom versus security. And you could see that tension played out in lots of arenas.
And another core value, as you said, is freedom, and others include patriotism, getting ahead, pursuit of happiness, justice, and fairness. And I was thinking about your book when we heard the news recently that Congressman John Dingell is retiring. He said it was less about his health and more about the atmosphere on Capitol Hill. In fact, he said to the Detroit News, here's his quote, "I find serving in the House to be obnoxious. It's become very hard because of the acrimony and bitterness, both in Congress and in the streets." Congressman Dingell said, "This is not the Congress I know and love." And I thought about your book as I read that, because I got the strong sense you're calling out many of America's politicians for feeding the sense of divisiveness and rancor, no?
Yes, that's true. I think these things are cyclical. There's been times in our nation's past where we see very similar, bitter, rancorous conflict among our leaders. And there's been times when they haven't been quite so divided. And so if you look over the long run, it is a cycle. But we are at the bottom of that cycle now. And my hope is that if they will hear this message and take to heart the idea that we have this common ground, we have this these 10 core values, we are a united America, and take that as our starting point. I think you can get a lot farther by starting with what we have in common than by what divides us.
Could we as a people lose these core values, do you fear?
I don't.
Okay.
You can trace these values back a long time. So we've had them for a long time, and I think we will have them for a long time. The challenge is living up to the values.
The book is called United America, The Surprising Truth About American Values, American Identity, and the 10 Beliefs That a Large Majority of Americans Hold Dear, written by my guest, Wayne Baker, University of Michigan sociologist. And you can learn more about his work, follow his blog by going to ourvalues.org. And the website for all the support materials for the book is unitedamericabook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a good conversation. You've given us a lot to think about.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.